The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
I'm Andy McCoy from Villarica, Georgia, and I give the Mickey Miles Podcast a Rich Gehring two thumbs up.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 302 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show, fresh back from 9 days in Florida, is the one, the only, Miss Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
It's been quite a crazy three or four weeks.
Yeah, we haven't recorded for a while.
No.
And I want to give you a shout out today. We're going to talk about some things that happened, but I don't know if we mentioned this on the podcast, that the last few episodes we recorded, you were quite ill and ended up having emergency surgery, and you recorded 5 or 6 podcasts with like a gallbladder attack, didn't you?
It was less than 100%.
Some people who knew that were listening to those shows and saying, wow, you're a trooper, so I'm glad you're on the mend.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No fun.
Running is coming soon?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like I'm climbing the walls. I probably will be able to start running next week.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly by the 1st of September, and I need to hustle because I need to get back in shape because there's a BAA half marathon coming up in October. So.
Yes. I did not do a lot of running. I did a lot of walking on my vacation and kayaking and lots of swimming and stuff, but... No running.
Do we have a shout out?
That you are the shout out.
Oh, I was the shout out. Oh my God. Okay.
You were the shout out.
All right. So, anyways, what we wanted to do today is we wanted to do a recap on the Small World Challenge that we participated in down in Walt Disney World, thanks to the creativity of Phil Vanderpool. And the generosity of many people, there was a lot of money that was raised. I'm not sure exactly how much, Michelle, but it was a lot.
It was about $7,000.
Wow.
So Jennifer coordinated things on the West Coast, and she had her group of people out there, a whole bunch of people. And then Phil coordinated things at Walt Disney World. And I wanted to mention, if you didn't catch our 300th podcast, we actually did it as a series of live Periscopes during the day, so you're not going to find it in our archives because it was live action, right, Mike? Why did we decide to do that?
Well, it was a special show. It was 300th, and we wanted to do something special, so we decided to do live Periscope. From time to time, we will do that, and we also wanted to give props to everybody who was there. Mm-hmm. And do a few things. Also, we wanted to engage our listeners, give them an idea of what it was like to be there. And it was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the next opportunity to
We had some guests from Give Kids the World.
Yes.
Meredith Schechter came. She was on our show. And volunteer extraordinaire Karen Skilling was there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a surprise guest. Somebody was not supposed to go and ended up showing up. And who was that?
Oh, you mean me?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny because that Wednesday I had to meet with my doctor, and we talked about stuff and what I can do and what I couldn't do. And he didn't
mention getting on and off a boat.
He didn't mention
at Walt Disney World.
He didn't mention getting on a plane. He didn't mention getting on and off a boat. He just did tell me not to lift certain amount of weight because... I'm still in the mend and didn't want anything to happen. So I said, well.
But he didn't mention the possible psychological trauma that you would endure watching
Nightmares
Small
of
World.
Little dolls marching up and down my my bedpost. No. I wanted to I said to myself, I need to go down. And so I hopped on a plane and went down. It was a quick trip. It was a Friday to a Monday trip, but it was one of the more special trips I've had to Walt Disney World. So what we want to do is we want to sort of go over what this was all about, what Michelle and I experienced over the weekend, and talk about what it was like, and also talk about something we did very special Sunday morning, the day after. So, Michelle,
And I just want to kind of frame this for people again. The reason that we're doing this is that we do support a charity through our, just the podcast in general, but our Mickey Milers running group. There are about 400 of them. Each have agreed to raise $50 for Give Kids the World. And this group of people, both virtually and in Disneyland and Disney World, raise a whole lot more money by committing to spend the whole day riding Small World or listening to the music and running.
And I also want to thank those who contributed to my effort. At the last minute, I asked people to sponsor me for as many rides as I could do on Saturday, and I really appreciate all the help. It was, every dollar counts, and it means even more to Michelle and myself after that weekend. So let's start, Michelle, with Saturday morning.
Okay, so there were a hearty group of people who started bright and early, I think 7 o'clock, to get there for a rope drop.
Mm-hmm.
I was not among those people.
And neither was I.
But a whole bunch of people did, and we met up with them later on.
Yeah, the first boat ride, I believe, was at 7:53.
Wow.
And with the low crowds early in the day, I believe the gang was able to average about 4 rides per hour.
Mm-hmm.
On It's a Small World, and the cast members knew what was going on.
Very quickly they knew it was going on.
Those early folks had the shirts on, Give Kids the World Challenge Small World Challenge shirts. And we joined them about an hour after they had started, and we just got in line and did our thing, and it was kind of interesting. I can't imagine how Phil was able to do Stitch last year, but Small World seemed to be a little bit more.
You mean by himself? Because
he's
by himself.
Yeah, a little bit more palatable doing Small World.
Yeah, one of the interesting things that I heard people saying right away about this experience was that they were hoping for there to be lines at Small World so they could spend time off the boat. But very early in the day, there were no lines, and they were getting back on and off pretty quickly. But the cast members did figure it out, and it got to the point where they were saying, different people were saying, how many? None of them said that you people are crazy, but I heard a lot of the people say you people are crazy. But again, it was for a good cause. But one of the interesting things, Mike, and I didn't, I actually like Small World. I don't mind the music. It is a catchy tune that gets stuck in your head. But one of the things I didn't expect was that we would spend a lot of time doing fun social media types of things. I know Mark Avis and Kendrick Brown did a time lapse of the entire ride. We posted it. People were counting, specific things in the ride. There was a lot of talking, so it was very social type of thing. Not like we were interrupting other visitors, but Mike, you were counting animals and suns and things like that.
Well,
right?
I think Phil counted suns. He counted 11 suns. I counted the figures. Someone was counting spinning figures. Someone was counting animals, birds. One of the more interesting things that we noticed on this day, and Phil noticed it too, is that we had an assortment of casting characters, and not everybody was there for the entire 17 hours. Not everybody was there from rope drop to kiss goodnight, mm-hmm. so to speak. And what I found really interesting was that every time I got into the boat, I was sitting next to someone different.
Yes, yes.
And that meant there was a different kind of a conversation. And so what happened is that kind of a conversation would drown out the music.
Mm.
And so it was
But again, I want to say we weren't being like, we weren't disturbing, because most of the times we were in the boat with other people, but we weren't disturbing. Plus, that music's so loud.
Very rarely was, I think maybe once we had a boat to ourselves, maybe. I think we averaged about maybe 12 or 13 people at a time, although in total there must have been between 20 and 25 people who, you know, took part in that day. So that was very interesting. What was also interesting, Michelle, is that, you know, we took a break for lunch. You, me, and Eddie, we took a break for lunch, and then we went back, and it was around midday, and the crowds were high, and we noticed that as the lines grew longer, it took a lot longer to get on the boat and off the boat. So what was a four rides per hour early morning kind of shift turned out to be a 1 to 2 rides per hour by, let's say, maybe 11 to 3. And so that really spoke a lot towards the, you know, towards the stamina of everyone, because you were on your feet most of the time. And, I mean, you were sitting in the boat for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, but you were on your feet anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that was something that I noticed, too.
And I want to say, too, just mention again that Meredith came over from Give Kids the World to jump on the boat with us, and really happy and you know, excited about what we were doing. And also Karen came over and did the same thing. So there were a lot of superstars. There were people like Phil who rode, you know, from beginning to end. Robert Schultz, and I'm going to forget somebody who did it from I think they were 12 hours. They did it from 8 to 8. But there are two superstars who did it from 8 till 1 in the morning. Do you remember who they were?
David Koch and
Kim Sharroff. Yeah, exactly. So they were, it was funny to watch their social media and see them slowly losing their minds, but huge, huge shout out to them. So in all, from the Mickey Milers, West Coast, East Coast, virtually, we had Ian Sr. who ran his Goofy Miles, listening to Small World for the entire thing. I think the total was $7,000.
Between 7 and 8, I think it was.
Yeah.
And
I think that's enough to send two families to Give Kids the World.
I also want to mention that, you know, everyone's probably saying, well, so how many rides did you do? I don't know how many Phil did. Phil probably did somewhere in the area of 30.
I think he said 28, yeah. You and I just did about...
We did about 12.
12, yeah.
And...
But I think David and Kim did...
43?
Yeah, 43 rides. So imagine that, everybody listening. 43 rides on Give Kids... on Small World
between,
with that music.
Between 8 in the morning to 1 in the, 1 in the morning. That gives you an idea how crowded that attraction was. 43, you know, so I think that was an average of maybe 17, well, whatever.
So that was awesome, and the cool thing is we were already starting to think about, well, Phil is the driver of this bus, but we were having some conversations with him about what might happen next year. So we would like to continue this.
Yep, and we'll have Phil on sometime in the next few months with solid plans as to what will happen in 2016, and we would love to see more
people join us.
It was almost like a party. I know Michelle and I are hoping to be down again next year, regardless of what the challenge is. Phil and I talked about it. I think it will be really fun to see what we come up with for next year, and the more the merrier. It would be very much like a party. So we're looking forward to it. And again, it's probably going to be in August, maybe.
Well, it's Phil, again, it's Phil's baby. We'll support whatever he does. Yep. But I think he's got lots of good plans. So should we talk about the next piece?
Let's move on to Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So Sunday morning, we went to breakfast with our friend Karen Skilling, who is a mega volunteer for Give Kids the World. And Karen had volunteered give us a first-hand VIP tour of Give Kids the World. And we were all excited. Michelle and I had planned to do this sometime, and it just was a perfect time to do this. And so After breakfast, we drove over to Give Kids the World, which is on 192 in Kissimmee, right behind, right just beyond the Medieval Times, behind the Walmart, and it was quite an experience. It's a beautiful village. It's a beautiful place. It's amazing how much they cater to the children there. Michelle, we heard about the founder. I think his name was Walter Land.
Henry
Landworth, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the stories that came about and the reason why he built the village. And we right off the bat, we were doing Periscope broadcasts from mm-hmm. Give Kids the World, mm-hmm. and the first one was from a place called Amberville, mm-hmm. which was named after a little girl who Mr. Landworth was trying to save, and just the paperwork just was slowing down, and he decided.
He was trying to make sure that she wanted to go to Walt Disney World,
right.
And her family couldn't afford, and so he was working in a hotel and was trying to get things moving, but unfortunately was not able to do it in time. She passed away. So
we took a tour of the, and it's a just an amazing village. The first thing that wowed me was the, and we did a little broadcast Periscope broadcast of this, was that room that had the trains. It was just amazing. The children could go in there and just look at very detailed model train display. That was the size of a. Maybe two rooms, three rooms. It was just really, really something. And that was attached to a building where there were video games and all types of activities for the children to play in. Just outside was a miniature golf course that was donated by a little boy's family, who had gone there. And it was just really, really, really an amazing introduction to the...
It was supported by Universal, too. So
yes.
There are parts of the park that are supported by attractions all over Orlando. Karen is a cast member. Her husband, Randy, also a good friend, a cast member. And they often, Disney often sends volunteers there to do to do different things. So very much the things that impressed me were the number of volunteers. And not just that. I think, did she say 1,800 volunteer slots a week?
Something like that. 1,800 volunteer shifts.
Yeah. So, but Karen's been there for 20 years, and so many of the people have been there for years and years, and just give up their time because they value this place so much. It was just really, really impressive. Another thing that I thought was really interesting, the fairy tale. Is it Fairy Tale Forest?
I think it's Fairy Tale Forest. Yeah.
So some of the things we learned is that families who come can get picked up at the airports. They get park tickets provided for them. They have everything sort of planned out. They're given rental cars if they want them, and then the people who work there do everything in their power to make it just a magical experience for kids. Things like the kids get presents dropped off at their villas during the day when they're out, or there's an ice cream parlor. They can have ice cream whenever they want to. There's a place where they have a magical pillow, and there are pillows that have sports and flowers and anything that a kid would want. It's a remembrance of their time, and every child who goes there gets a star. And it was amazing to walk into this building and see really thousands and thousands of stars for every individual kid, a sick child there with their family who received a star. It was very powerful. I know that there are several times during the day that you and I were both getting teary-eyed. So it's just quite a special place.
Yeah, I was quite jealous of the ice cream palace. The ice cream palace is designed to look like a huge banana split. And you go in there and it's open at 7:30 in the morning till I don't know when at night. And so the children and the families can have ice cream all day long, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
There was a castle that Michelle was mentioning that you go into, and it's a very magical place. There's a sort of a rotunda in the middle, and on the ceiling there are just hundreds of thousands of stars. That was what Karen described it. While we were there, there was a young lady and her family who were, they were talking with the magical tree. Mm-hmm. And the magical tree talks about, you know, what they like and everything. And at a certain point, the tree shakes. Mm-hmm. And as Michelle said, a pillow falls out. And the pillow depicts their dreams and hopes and their favorite items. And Karen showed us what is behind the tree. And behind the tree is this room with about 2 or 3 million pillows. And these pillows all have special designs on them. So for instance, if you are a little girl who is in a wheelchair and you love unicorns, there will be a pillow that falls out that has unicorns. If you're a boy, that little boy loves football, then a pillow with footballs. So that when you sleep with your pillow, you'll dream of these things and take your mind off other things that are not really pleasant, and that could be pleasant in your life. So it was very, very emotional to see that. They had to actually build another section of the castle because they were running out of room for the stars. Mm-hmm. Very, very nice. One of the other things that Karen showed us is that they now have a huge city hall. And in that city hall, on one side is a cafeteria that is run by several places.
Papa John's
and a few others.
I can't remember the other ones.
On the other side is an area where they can bring things inside. There's a stage. And so if there's inclement weather, they can bring the children there. There was a carousel that we saw. Very, very nice. And, of course, when we saw the villages, and I forget how many, Karen said 180 maybe.
The villas were the
villas, yeah, mm-hmm. The cottages, just really, really unbelievable, just amazing.
And there's a horse stable. Students can go on horse rides.
For horse therapy.
Yes, because volunteers come and have been coming for years, and it's all covered, and they can get a chance. And Karen was telling us that she was with a family who had a really powerful emotional experience because their child could never have done anything like that.
Yeah.
Everything in the village is multi-accessible to people with different disabilities, and it was just mind-blowing, really.
Just the playground was just quiet. And one of the interesting things that Karen said is that in many cases, the children prefer staying there rather than going to Walt Disney World. Mm. So it was very, very inspiring, very emotional for us to see this. And if anything comes out of this, we would love to encourage our listeners who, if they get a chance, maybe to think about volunteering. You can go online and start the online process. There is a...
you can volunteer for just a day. People come for a whole week.
There's a background check. There are parades, and there are all kinds of things. It's just...
And the gingerbread run,
The gingerbread run is just an amazing, amazing place. One of the other things I wanted to mention, Michelle, is that like the bricks around the world, there were bricks there that had names of people who had given probably very, very generous donations to have their names inscribed on the bricks. Just an amazing place. I didn't know what to expect, but I do know that my expectations, if there were any, were very much exceeded by this. And it makes me want to, it makes me feel proud about the team and what we're doing, because it's a tangible, I can see things. I mean, we've done other charities, but we can actually see stuff going on here. And we stopped off at the store, and I bought a couple of shirts for my grandchildren, and I bought a shirt and a hat, and I think you bought a shirt, and we knew that was going to go towards helping someone. And so it was a very, very, very emotional weekend. It was, like I said, it was probably one of the most special weekends I've ever had at Walt Disney World, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Phil has up his sleeve for next year.
Yeah, so join the Mickey Milers if you want to help support Give Kids the World, or support in whatever way you want to. Maybe you'll be down there and run the gingerbread run, or run the virtual gingerbread run, which I'm hoping that we do, Mike. Mm-hmm. I definitely would like to spend some of my summer vacation next year volunteering there.
Yep. So I think that before we go, I just want to give another shout out to Phil and everybody who was there. If I go through the names, I know I'll forget some of them, and I don't want to. I just want to thank everybody who showed up.
People gave up time away from their families, away from their friends. It was an endurance event. I mean, it really was. It was quite spectacular.
So we want to thank everybody who participated. We want to thank Walt Disney World and the cast members for their cooperation. We want to thank all those who contributed. And we hope to do even more next year.
Yeah, keep your eyes and ears open.
So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, The Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.